It's 11 minutes before the hour. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Monday, March 4th. I'm Erin Fulton with Raven News. The author of two failed attempts to put a ballot proposition before Sitka voters limiting cruise passengers last fall is back, and this time he's got an organization behind him. Larry Edwards is now board member of Small Town Soul, or Save Our Unique Lifestyle. His nonprofit hopes to not only develop a citizen initiative, but to put it to voters in a special election sometime this summer. Edwards and Soul President Claudia Lassess stopped by KCAW and spoke with Robert Woolsey.
For Claudia Lassess, the record numbers of cruise passengers visiting Sitka over the past two seasons has been more than an inconvenience. She says it's forced her to rethink where she calls home.
It's been a real difficult last couple of years with the overcrowding, with the traffic on the highways, traffic out on the waterways. And so for the first time in my life, being a lifetime Sitkan, I've thought about moving. And that is kind of terrifying when you have invested your entire life into a community and all of a sudden you don't feel welcome anymore.
Lassess contributed her signature to both initiatives proposed by Larry Edwards last fall, which would cap cruise visitors in Sitka. Both were rejected by the city's legal department and failed to make it to the ballot. Edwards has long felt that there's more at stake in the rapid growth of cruise tourism than the increased congestion or the increase in sales tax revenue that most people dwell on. Small Town Soul has made protecting Sitka's rural subsistence designation a priority. Sitka already exceeded the population limit the last time it had to argue for its subsistence designation in 2013. Now, Edwards says that expanding the town's infrastructure to accommodate cruise traffic will push Sitka that much farther over the line.
The problem with the amount of cruise visitation we have is just a symptom of a bigger problem. So we've constructed our mission statement for the organization to get down to the root of the problem, which subsistence is a big part of that. But it's just how we have not really been looking out in the way planning is done in this city for keeping this a small town into the future.
Lassess says Sitka's subsistence designation is about much more than the ability of residents to set skates for halibut. For her lifestyle and for many other Sitkans, much more is on the line.
As a hunter, fisher, subsistence lifestyle person, if we lost that, we would lose our ability to go out to read out and catch sockeye. We would lose our herring harvest. We would lose our January hunt, which for many reasons is important to a lot of people.
On February 29th, the community of Bar Harbor, Maine, won a major lawsuit that allows it to limit cruise passengers in that community to 1,000 people a day from all ships. Although that ruling likely will be appealed in a higher court, the uncertainty over that pending litigation played a role in Sitka's rejection of Edwards' two prior ballot initiatives. Now, Edwards believes Sitka's legal department will have more clarity, and Soul is going to try again to develop a citizen initiative capping cruise passengers. Lassess says it will be more than Bar Harbor's limit, and a number that has worked for Sitka in the past.
Soul has been pretty consistent with a 240,000 limit per year, with cutting the shoulder seasons so that we don't have the tourists here when the kids are still in school, and with a daily limit that I don't think we've come to a firm grips on, but 1,600, 1,500 seems like a reasonable daily limit. There are some that would say 3,000, but have more days off.
Edwards says the organization has retained an attorney and hopes to have an initiative petition circulating soon for a possible special election as early as this summer. Asked if he thinks Sitkans have an appetite for limiting cruise numbers after two record seasons, Edwards is looking forward to an answer.
Guess we'll find out. We've never really asked the public.
Small Town Soul, or Save Our Unique Lifestyle, is a registered 501c4 organization with a 9-member board of directors. The group's website went live on March 1st. Edwards says they're looking for any input helpful in developing responsible management of tourism in Sitka. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The budgeting process for fiscal year 2025 is underway, and when the Sitka Assembly met on February 29th, it reviewed the city's enterprise funds and proposed rate increases. This year, city staff recommended increasing utility rates by 4% for water, 7.5% for wastewater, 4% for solid waste, and 4% for harbors. In a rare move, the city's electric fund won't see a utility rate increase this year for usage due to a $2 million grant the city received. However, the flat base rate for some customers' electric bills will increase for the first time since 2016, based on the results of a cost of service study the city commissioned. Municipal Administrator John Leach said it's more expensive to service some customers, like those on remote islands, and the rates aren't offsetting those costs.
When we talk about the remote island service, just in this past year, we had to make a pretty substantial repair that was getting close to six figures to make that repair. And looking at that user's account, we took their lifetime payment into the utility rates, and even their lifetime payments over X number of years came to about $40,000. But we still had to spend close to, if not over, $100,000 for repair to that one property.
The Assembly was prepared to go with staff recommendations for rate increases on all of the enterprise funds except wastewater. The department is installing an expensive disinfection system to meet a new federal mandate from the EPA, which is one reason its debt load has increased. Mayor Steven Eisenbeiss said the rate increase for wastewater should be a little higher than city staff were recommending.
When I look at this slide, there's a lot of indicators of a fund that is very much not healthy and one small incident away from being completely insolvent, having to borrow from the general fund. And I don't feel comfortable going forward with that.
Next year's enterprise budgets also included two new full-time positions, a harbor maintenance position and someone to manage the new secondary filtration plant at Blue Lake. Assemblymember Kevin Mosher said he felt the positions were needed and should be funded. But given that nearly 30 city positions are currently vacant, he anticipated some trouble attracting applicants.
The one concern, too, is going to be filling them. I think that might even be a greater concern than funding it, because we might not have people to do it. But given that there's going to be some people retiring in the next couple years, too, it'll be good to have some people have some time to be trained.
Other than increasing the wastewater rate, the Assembly didn't push back on most staff recommendations for the enterprise funds. But things may be different when the Assembly reviews next year's general fund budget. With lots of new line items, Finance Director Melissa Haley told the Assembly it would likely be a deficit budget. Mayor Eisenbeiss said he wanted to see them land on a $1 million surplus rather than a deficit. That would mean saying no to some requests from staff in the coming weeks.
My first two-thirds of my career on this Assembly, we cut every single year. And we were finding ways to do more with less. But right now we're seeing years of surplus. We're seeing years of lots. And we can see that in a lot of the requests that are coming through departments, and neededly so. I'm not downplaying any of their requests, but are coming forward asking for a lot because this budget is here. In my opinion, when we have a lot right now, when we have good years, we need to squirrel some of that away. We need to save some of that for the years that are not good.
The Assembly's next budget meeting is on April 4th, when they'll discuss the draft general fund budget. The workforce in the Tongass National Forest has grown a lot over the last couple of years, thanks to some major infusions of federal money. In a presentation at the Juneau Economic Development Council's Innovation Summit last week, U.S. Forest Service Ranger Jason Anderson said new staff will help the agency catch up on a backlog of maintenance projects and keep up with the tourism boom in Southeast Alaska. Anderson said federal funding to support recreation in national forests has been shrinking for at least two decades. But the passage of the Great American Outdoors Act in 2020 and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law in 2021 reversed that trend, bringing a total of nearly $100 million to the Tongass region.
Those sort of one-off key pieces of legislation gave us the demand and the permission to double our staff. This moment is huge, like so much money.
According to Anderson, the number of positions for custodial or maintenance staff in the Tongass has doubled since 2020. Many of those new positions are dedicated to sprucing up Forest Service assets that have long been neglected.
Trail bridges and roads, or the structure for a picnic area, or maybe the restroom, as those over time suffer the abuses of our climate and the extensive use of the public, they see wear and tear. And because our budgets were so small, we were just accruing vast amounts of deferred maintenance.
The agency has also doubled the number of positions for their Heritage Program, which works on historic and cultural preservation projects throughout the region. And they've also added new staff positions for the Special Uses Program, which mainly does permitting. Almost all activities, from research to hunting, requires a permit. But lately, there's been a major permitting backlog. That's been especially frustrating for people trying to start new recreation businesses to take advantage of the growing number of tourists.
The growth of our Special Uses Program is trying to get to a place where we can be better at responding to the growth in demand.
Traditionally, the small staff and district offices had to process dozens or even hundreds of permit requests on their own, which caused major delays. Now they're introducing a region-wide team of permit administrators dedicated to working through the backlog and keeping up with the new permit requests. According to Anderson, filling and maintaining all the new positions will be the next challenge. 30% of the jobs on the new permitting team are still vacant, and the Forest Service has struggled with high rates of staff turnover. I'm Erin Fulton, and this has been Raven News.